struggle for the economic development, and I thought this was a really good workshop. I would just want to say that I feel that if we're talking about the kind of branch building and membership building that's been put out, that memberships has to be way more than 22% of that budget, because just this weekend we raised $7,000. I heard another Marcus Garvey member came in online, so that's $8,000 that was raised this weekend, which is what, six? I mean, I can't remember, what was that, like 40, 50%? Almost 50%, it's like 45. Yeah, so if we're talking about, I mean, $20,000 is only 20 Marcus Garvey members, that's all. You know, if we really build the massive, the point of entry, to me, 20,000 alone in the, all the membership levels, with membership weekends, membership drives, the whole, the point of entry process, is really doable. $20,000 in memberships, then another 10 or 20,000 in other kinds of things, T-shirts and other kinds of things that we're talking about. But I just think if we're really gonna be building this membership and massive and the whole membership and sustainable funding, all the levels of membership that are now up on the WePay, people can go there and do that on a monthly level. I really think if the branches are doing what we're saying, that is really doable.
I unite, and I also want to say that I think my POA is going to be the $40,000 POA, because I also forgot to mention that our current president, Diop, is on a salary of $20,000 a year, and MPDA. Well, we got to raise the 20 grand first for you to get it. So I will change my POA and adjust it. And also, you are correct, membership, I will probably move it up to like 45% of the total.
Uhuru, I just want to thank you for the workshop. And I wanted to also unite with something that was said earlier by one of the persons who intervened in the discussion, and that is about the need for a budget. That when we start talking about how much money we're going to raise, I mean, it really should be budget-driven. That we need to know what it is that we got to pay for, what it is that we're going to do. And for me, that's one of the reasons, the question of President Diop having a salary. I think that's a fundamental question. This comrade needs to be free to work on this all the time and not have to be hustling, spending half his time hustling to try to survive. And if Diop were free and had a salary and could move, he could be much more effective. So that, it seems to me, to be a really strategic component of any budget that we're developing. And Comrade Diop shouldn't have to be the one who's asking about this and raising this. It should be an organizational determination that he has to be salaried, and it has to be more than $20,000. So I think that's important. And then we need to determine what other kinds of things that we need to have an effective organization to carry out the program that serve the interests of African people. And this is one area where that interest is being served. It's not like you've made this the fundamental question, but how do we become free? And in that process, you raise this question. I think that's been extraordinarily helpful to this discussion. Also, it seems to me that when you say same gender loving, you are saying bisexual. That you don't have to say bisexual, because it seems to me that it's incorporated into that. And the other thing I was, there's another statement in the resolution that refers to African nationalist or African nationalism or something like that. And I was just going to suggest that we characterize as African internationalism. Go ahead.
Uh, That one was the African nationalist sector of the African Liberation Movement has adopted the colonialist view.
Oh,
we were
okay.
speaking now, about right. the pan-Africanist
leave
and
it,
the...
Leave it, Julie. You're right. You got it. You got
okay.
It.
Yeah. Okay.
You got it right. Splendid. That's quite helpful. Thank you so much. Uru.
As mentioned, this is a work in progress because there's so much to deal with. I mean, I don't know how much you guys know about what's happening in Uganda, in Ghana, and different parts of the continent where white, it's interesting because same gender loving people in the African community are in this valley of white supremacy. They have the white supremacist right wing Christians and the white supremacist homosexuals with the rainbow flags making them schizophrenic. And they're colonizing them with double, you know, in stereo. And we don't even see what's going on here. And it's a deep war that's really dividing and creating division inside of black families and communities. That's well, they're on both sides. And the white gays are seen as the liberal, wonderful, helpful ones. And they're exploiting in every way you can think of these communities, sexually, spiritually, self-conceptually. So this is a serious fight. I'm looking forward to the further development of this because it's important. It's an important war that we need to resist. Yoo-hoo.
Just for the benefit of this discussion and, you know, based also on what this comrade said, that we have a bad reputation in Northern California because I think it was ACT UP who would come into the community and they were united with, I think it might have been PrayerFi Organizing Committee. Because we had an incredible movement in Oakland. It'd be hard to describe it, you know, just in terms of what it was on the ground. I mean, Oakland was declared, you know, like really liberated territory. When you went to Oakland, it was like being in the independent Nicaragua for a while. That was the way it was. And so, you know, we're involved in a struggle for national liberation, and they come in with PrayerFi, where they're going to set up their own movement to organize African people in Bobby Hutton Park, of all places. And Bobby Hutton, of course, was killed, you know, by the Oakland Police Department, and we told him, you can't do that, you know, because it was interventionist, and it was actually an attack to take Africans from like a struggle for self-determination to some other kind of question. And we asked them not to do it. And they did it anyway. And so the people got really upset with that. And to make a long story short, they kicked their asses, you know, and chased them out of Oakland. So that made us, you know, anti-gay, anti-whole bunch of other stuff that didn't have nothing to do with gay. It just had to do with white folks who were going to come in and then set the terms for this incredibly powerful movement that was happening, you know, like for self-determination of African people. We still run into that right now. And people still complain about they got their asses kicked. What year was this? Does anybody, Allie, what year was this? Anybody remember what year this happened? This must have been... late 80s, you know, and they still complain about it. That must have been a hell of an ass kicking. But they still complain about it. Yeah.
Uhuru, so, are there any other revisions or discussion on the proposed resolution? All right, let's go ahead and call the vote then. So get your red cards out, NPL members. All those in favor, raise up your red card. Now count ahead. I'll count, it's all right. All right. All those opposed, raise up your red card. All right, unanimous. Suhuru. And like the resolution said, we're going to establish this international same-gender-loving commission soon after the convention. You'll be hearing more from the IC about that development and the establishment of the other commissions we've been discussing. Uhuru. So we're going to move forward, y'all, into probably the most important part of the agenda for today, which is that of building up our organizational capacity. Yeah. So we're going to need to make some stage management moves. But we're going to have a workshop coming up on the question of branch building for political power. Uhuru. Yeah, I was going to do an overview.
Yeah, okay. Well, we should just pull this like this.
Yes, it will be used.
What is this? This is for the best part?
Yes.
Why you doing this?
Okay. Really? It's a paragraph. Okay. All right. Uhuru, comrades. We here have all possibly played with Legos, right? Y'all seen Legos before, right? Okay. Well, Legos and games like Connect Four, these are games that are building blocks that are used to learn from so that as we grow, we can build, unite, and develop resistance. This next workshop is on building branches for the basic political power and how to unify and organize mass resistance internationally. Comrades Diop and Walia and Ushindi will lead this discussion. They will inform us and help us elevate each LOC to expand membership. So, comrades, please put your hands together for the President, Diop.
Uhuru, comrades, the question was raised, what is an LOC? Branch? Were you trying to build up a branch? And were you able to get at least three more people in the form of the membership coordinator, secretary, and treasurer to come together with you as an organizer to form what we call the local organizing committee. However, we don't want to just be content with just having four people that call themselves the LOC. Our fundamental task is to build real branches of NPDOM in every single city in which African people live. And the reason why we want branches is because the branch represents real organizational capacity that functions on a number of levels. On one, through the branches, we have a formation of members of NPDOM who are organized around particular organizational principles as well as our Revolutionary National Democratic Program, and they not only carry out a struggle that speaks to the interests of Africans in their city, but they also function according to the strategy that we have in place on an international level. That's part of the reason why we are an international organization, because we know we're not going to achieve no liberation just fighting in St. Pete or just fighting in the U.S. or just in Europe or any other part of the world. Imperialism unites all the time. They have an international capacity. We talked about that in the report to the convention on yesterday, where the NYPD, is used to train police forces all over the world, even as they repress the African population in New York City. And, imperialism unites all the time. When they invaded Haiti most recently, the U.S., the French, Canada, and other imperialist forces came together to cooperate in the takeover of Haiti. And, they did it even as they may have contradictions and disagreements amongst themselves when it comes to the overall question of maintaining parasitic capitalism, colonialism, etc. They unite in a certain kind of way. And so we raise the question over and over again about where is our international capacity? Where is our backup? Where is our ability not only to call on comrades, in our own city, but on the other side of the globe? And the branch is the local organization that functions according to that overall strategic goal that we have to achieve total African liberation. So that through branches, when an African, for example, is murdered by the police in Brooklyn, New York, we have the ability to mobilize our membership in London, England, Paris, France, St. Petersburg, Florida, and everywhere else. And not only to mobilize the membership, but because we are organized as branches, we also have the ability to mobilize the communities that we are organizing in. But this can't be done without being organized around real organizational principles, protocols, day-to-day stuff that we may even take for granted. Like even the convention itself required organization. It required that we have division of labor. It required fundraising. It required outreach and logistics and other aspects of work that are necessary in order to hold an event, you know, much less make a revolution as a whole. So the branch is the most basic organizational unit of the International People's Democratic Uhuru Movement, which can be located in a city, town, college campus, prison, or even in some cases perhaps at a workplace or on a plantation, a factory, etc. We can build branches in a certain kind of way of NPDOM. So in this next discussion, we're going to be talking about the protocols and the manuals that we pulled together as not only as NPDOM, but we have been working as part of the One People, One Party, One Destiny campaign, which is a campaign that was initiated by Chairman Lamala Isatella and the party, coming directly out of the fifth party Congress, where we saying that we got to achieve a certain type of capacity to organize more effectively. The crisis of imperialism clearly is impacting on African people in such a way where the masses are ready to get organized, they're ready to resist, but we got to be ready to receive the masses. We've had situations in this organization, here and other places in the movement, where we've been, you know, overwhelmed by a flux of people who want to come into the organization, but we didn't necessarily have the structures, the protocols, the ability, the capacity to organize the people. And, of course, the masses of African people don't got the time to wait around for the so-called leadership to get their shit together, right? And, you know, colonialism going to get in the way all the time. People got bills to pay, people to bail out, cops to, you know, get away from, etc. And, you know, developing protocol on how to build a branch is not the top on their priority. But we as the leaders, as the organizers, we got to begin to resolve these contradictions and have the structures in place and the understanding of what types of problems need to be fixed in order to move forward in the right way. So the One People, One Party, One Destiny campaign, as far as the mass organizations of our party, including NPDOM, we've been operating under the assumption that the masses of the people are ready to come in to the organization. And it also operates under the assumption that we're going to need a centralized process to make sure that NPDOM and other mass organizations of the party have all of the skills and expertise at our disposal necessary to develop those protocols and manuals that we're talking about. So I want to recognize the comrades who participated in the steering committee of the mass recruitment team, Comrade Chairwoman Penny Hess, who is the chairwoman of the African People's Solidarity Committee, who you heard from earlier today, the chair of the mass recruitment team, Comrade Stephanie Midler, who is the chair of the Uhuru Solidarity Movement, also, IEC, NPDOM IEC members, myself, Ushini Watu, Walia Brooks, all are part of that mass recruitment team, and Jesse Level, who functions in Uhuru Solidarity Movement as well, was on that team. So, Uhuru. And this is kind of like, you know, our splash party. You know, we've been working really hard. This is really hard work that we did. And we don't have a whole lot of time to go into this manual, which we developed, a manual. And later on, you're going to be hearing more about the membership outreach manual as well. Together, the branch builder manual and the membership outreach manual come together to form our organizational manual. But what I wanted to do is just to give a brief overview in terms of the way in which, the direction in which we are headed with the branch building process. And this is electronic version. Can this thing move at all? No? Okay. I don't want to move the projector. It's cool. Damn, my laptop about to... Oh, yeah, you right. That's what you call being mechanical. Okay. All right. So this is the branch building manual that we have. Is there a way to get a full view? Oh, you just do these? How can they see the whole page, though? Yeah, you can do it.
That's the full page.
Okay, that's cool. Most of the stuff you're going to see on screen is going to come from other comrades after me. I'm just giving an overview. One thing I did want to say on the branch. This is not just the abstract question of having like a bureaucratic structure where we can say we have branches and people in certain positions. This is about building an organization to take power. This is about turning every African community on the planet into what we call fighting Soviets. Into fighting communities, liberated territory where we as NPDOM, as the organizational, the revolutionary leadership of the community, says what can and cannot happen in our community, particularly as it relates to the state and imperialism. We should have the ability in every city where NPDOM functions, we should have the ability to say whether or not the pigs can come into our community, much less murder somebody. St. Petersburg, Florida, subsequent to the rebellions that happened in 1996, it took 8 years before any police force could even dare to shoot at, much less kill another African in the city. And that's we talk about a country in which an African is murdered by the police every 36 hours. But because of the fighting capacity that was developed in our community through the leadership of the party and NPDOM, the state was not able to come into St. Pete and south side of St. Petersburg and murder our people like that. And during the 60s, the Black Power Revolution of the 60s, we saw on a concrete level how the revolution had really developed that type of capacity throughout the cities, the country, the U.S., as well as other parts of the world. You had rebellions like protracted old-gold rebellions like what happened in Detroit, I believe in 1969, where the people stood toe-to-toe with the state for, you know, days and weeks on end. The state was not able to penetrate because of a certain type of capacity to resist. And in this period, we say we want to build up that type of fighting capacity. And again, that is the understanding that our branches must achieve their responsibility to be the leadership, to lead the resistance on the ground, but also in connection with an international, worldwide resistance that we're trying to build. So, and from a branch building standpoint, we broke up the different categories in the branch building manual to certain areas. One is on the question, as you can see here, and well, we lay out NPDOM's history, which you heard a lot of over the last day or so. We gave you the Revolutionary National Democratic Program and also NPDOM's constitution, which is going to be changed slightly, as well as the RNDP. And we also go into the question of what is a branch, you know, on a concrete level in terms of how does a branch function. And I did just want to say some things about what the branch is and what, you know, general expectations of the branches are inside an NPDOM organization. One thing that the branch, this thing is crazy, okay. Okay, here we go. Section 5 of the manual goes into the question of, you know, what is the branch? A branch of NPDOM is the local organizing structure that leads and carries out the work of the organization on the local level. The local area of the branch can be a city, but not just limited to a city, but also we want to build on the campuses, in the prisons, and other places as well. The leadership positions of the branch are, as you can see here, the president, secretary, treasurer, membership coordinator, and economic development and finance, as per our constitutional amendment. But we also want to struggle to get political action coordinator and information and education coordinators in place in all the areas as well. And the leadership body of the branch is what is known as the local executive committee. And we're not going to go too much into the job descriptions because you're going to learn more about that in upcoming presentations. What? Right here? Was that?
Yeah, that's it.
Okay. All right. Another thing I wanted to go into in terms of the question of each of those offices that I just named, as far as membership coordinator, economic development, and info ed in particular, and outreach, should develop their own capacity in terms of subcommittees. When we talk about the branch, part of what makes the branch is not just having four or five individuals in place, but also each of those offices should have a subcommittee type of capacity where you have a whole fundraising, economic development, and finance committee, a subcommittee that meets on its own and develops ways in which they're going to meet their branch budget every week. We also have the question of outreach. We should have an outreach committee that their primary responsibility would be to go out into the community and carry out the outreach for the organization. We're talking about info ed, you know, and other areas of work. We're talking about the political action work that we're going to be discussing later on, where, as you saw in the panels, the women's piece, the same gender loving piece, the resistance against colonial occupation. Political action would be responsible for organizing ongoing resistance, demonstrations, marches, conferences and forums, as well as the mandatory weekly Sunday mass meeting. That is part of what the branch itself would be doing. But it's really important in terms of developing a certain type of organizational capacity. In terms of some of the basic organizational requirements of the branch, this is important. We're saying that, you know, again, the branch at minimum is required to have the four members, but we shouldn't be satisfied just to have that. That is the president, membership coordinator, secretary, and treasurer. We also, there's a branch contract, which Conrad Wiley is going to talk about, and a $50 monthly assessment fee that is paid to the IEC, the International Executive Committee, every month. And that is part of the value of the branch as well, because the branch is the front on which the international organization is able to raise resources for the overall organization through the membership and the work being done by the branches themselves around the world. We have a situation now where NPDOM functions in at least 14 different cities. Although we do not have full branches in all these cities, we have activity going on in 14 different cities around the world. And should these and when these areas become full branches, that is obviously a significant means of income just off the branch assessment fee alone. And we expect to build rapidly in terms of spreading branches throughout this country and around the world. We also talking about a branch being required to do weekly outreach and weekly fundraising. The branches are required to carry out the weekly membership and recruitment work. That is the center, the basis of all of our work in this period, is to bring more people into the organization, to win membership. The question was raised around whether or not people who are not NPDOM members can benefit from and participate in the child care collective. And the answer is no. You got to join the organization, you know. You got to pay for child care anywhere else you go. We're not saying we're charging people money, but we're saying that we have to commit, you know, dedicate our own resources, our own labor and time to the betterment of the organization. That's what it means to be organized so that we can also benefit from that which other members do. So we're talking about collectivism, and membership is the center of all of the work that we do as an organization. We're saying also that the branch is required to sell at minimum 100 Burning Spears a month. And actually, I don't really unite with that. I think we need to address that during the membership outreach and the Burning Spear workshop. But I believe that we can do more than that. And I want to really struggle that we up the ante on that goal right there. Also, submitting weekly branch reports and submit contacts. This is an ongoing struggle that we involved in, you know, in the organization, in terms of the need for the local branches to submit reports to their leadership, which in this case is the International Executive Committee. And I know sometimes we can, like, look at the reports like just another task and a headache and all that, and why the hell do I got, you know, I got to do this brilliant report every week. And but the reality is the reports are not only for the benefit of the IEC and whatever that's supposed to be, but primarily it's for the benefit, of course, of the organization as a whole, but it gives you the ability to look at yourself in the mirror. Because, you know, when you go out, when you get ready to go out to go to work or go to the club or whatever you're going, you don't just roll out without checking yourself out head to toe, right? And even if you can't see how you look in the back, you know, you want your girlfriend to see what's going on, you know. And but that's what the report is. The report is giving you the opportunity to see yourself. It's to say, okay, we asking concrete questions in these reports. We say, how many flyers did you distribute this week? And where, you know, did that meet up in relationship to your outreach goal? So if you know you're supposed to hand out 500 flyers in your community, and, you know, nobody even thought about it until it came time to send in your report. Oh, all of a sudden, I got to write 25. I got, you know, and you want to, you know, rush out Sunday night. You got to get some flyers copied up and hand out some, a couple hundred flyers just so you don't have to send in a whack report. But without the reporting process, then it just, it's like a cancer. It's like a tumor. It just gets worse and worse, you know. So the reporting process gives you the opportunity to check yourself out. And we're going to continue to make the struggle to get these reports every week. Yeah, every week. Not once a month, but every week. And if you're doing your thing right, then you don't have to do that much work. All you got to do is get your local, your outreach coordinator, I'm talking to presidents right now, get your outreach coordinator to simply send in a basic report saying what was done for outreach, and all you got to do is copy and paste, right? And get your fundraising coordinator to do the same, and all the other officers in your branch just get that into you, and then you just copy, paste, and you send it out to the IEC. And that will ensure that you got an organization, that people are doing what they're supposed to do, and nothing is reliant on one individual, but we're working like a real organization. You know what I mean? Uhuru. Also, and I'm going to step down because I know Carmen Wally got, she going to get it for y'all, man. I'm going to get out of the way. See? also, we're saying the weekly mass rallies. Extremely important that we hold these weekly mass rallies, because it is through the mass rallies that you expose the community in your context that you're making off the outreach. That's how you expose them to the organization beyond just whatever individual or maybe two or three people they met during the outreach itself. You can bring them to a process where you got a nice spread with your, you know, your tablecloth, your literature and all that, which you should have an outreach to. But, you know, we also want to have food and culture. And of course, we do the ARN broadcast, which we are developing more and more. And it puts them in contact with something greater than just what they see in that branch, which is extremely important. Because I know a lot of y'all would not necessarily have joined if you just saw two people in front of a table outside in the same way that you do now that you hear the convention. But through the weekly rallies, we have the ability to do a convention in a certain kind of way every single week. And, you know, we have to develop that type of capacity. We mandated that every branch hold the weekly rallies. You got to find yourself a venue and get all the other materials that is required and get your weekly mass rallies going. And it don't got to be no grandiose, you know, major production. You know, don't get intimidated by the question. It could be, a weekly rally could be in a barbershop. I've done weekly rallies and weekly meetings in barbershops, in you know, in the basements of stores, in the back of stores, you know, all types of venues, in churches, you know, when they not, you know, doing what they do, you know. You can do, you know, wherever, you know, we can find a venue, use it, and you develop it, because our goal is to get Uhuru houses everywhere we possibly can. But, you know, start somewhere, and, you know, you'll start, as you keep doing the work in the community, you will see new opportunities opening up, and just be out there, be creative, be bold. And also, we want to submit articles for the Burning Spear newspaper at least once a month, because the spear is our greatest weapon in terms of recruitment and political education. The spear gives us the ability, and you're going to hear more about it, but it gives you the ability to walk up to a stranger in your community and engage them in political discussion, you know, about what's in that newspaper, you know, and you, that's the hook. From there, you can follow up with them, be like, bro, if you like that, I want to get your information, because I would love to, you know, you make sure you get a subscription, or I want to call you to see what you thought about this, that, and the third. And, you know, that's how you develop and cultivate contacts, which we're going to hear more from Kermit Ushinley's workshop as well. So I'm going to stop there in terms of the overall, you know, the overview of what the branch does, but there's more specifics that we're going to get into through Comrade Wali's presentation. Uhuru. Oh, in the organizational manual, we're going to talk about how that can be made available to all of y'all.
Uhuru. I'm here to talk to you about the branch administrative process. So it's just not enough just to have four people united to be a part of MPDM. There has to be certain infrastructure and protocols laid out so that we can run a well-organized organization and people, you know, we can keep the people. It's like we grab people's attention, we want to keep them there. And the way we keep them there is by these administrative processes. Okay. MPDM branch administrative process. The branch contract. All right. So you have four people who are united. One is united to be the branch president, the branch secretary, the treasurer, and the membership coordinator. And now you are required to sign a contract signifying that the branch unites with carrying out the mandates of the IEC. Some requirements on this contract are you carry out the sales process as mandated by the One Party, One People, One Destiny campaign. And if you are an NPDM member, you know the sales process very well. It's a part of the follow-up process where you sign everyone in. You enter the information into the database, you add their name to the list box, and but Brother Ushindi, he can tell you about furthermore about the sales process. Also, each branch is required to pay a $50 assessment fee to the IEC. Like we all know that freedom isn't free, and we need ways to sustain ourselves as an organization. And the best way we make money as an organization is to gain members. And once we gain members into branches, those branches can do their part by contributing that $50 fee every month. Branch communication systems. So once you have your branch together, you have to have certain things in order so we can have a uniformed way of doing things. You will have to create a branch phone number using Google Voice. Every branch is required to have an alias. Your branch, for instance, we have NORC@npdom.org, and every branch is required to have a branch list box because that's the way that we store our contacts and send out different notices to our contacts or to our members. Weekly reports, branch calendars, and Asana, organization systems. So I almost got scared because he was talking about the weekly reports. He just said everything about the reports. The weekly reporting process, if you are a member of NPLM, you have received that notice on Friday that your reports are due on Sunday at 7 p.m. And we struggle very hard for this process because, as President Diop said, that it is a mirror. It holds everyone accountable to the work that's going on. You are able to see the progress you are making by completing the report, and also the IEC can see your progress as well, and we can all figure out any contradictions before, you know, they go on and it's just too late. So that's why the weekly reporting process is very important. That's the way where we can gain a context from when you go out and to do your tabling or your mass political actions. It's a way that we can, as the IEC, can, you know, see how much money you're raising, what are your fundraising goals for the month, if you are selling your burning spears. So I unite with this process, and we struggle for this. For this very reason, each branch is required to sell a certain amount of burning spears, go out a certain amount of times per month, raise a certain amount of money per month, and the way we make that organized is we have a branch calendar. Each branch is required to create a calendar, letting us know when are you meeting as an LEC. When are you meeting with other forces in the community? When are you doing your phone banking? When are you doing a follow-up process once you have gained new members? Are you making those follow-up calls? Are you doing that phone banking? So this branch contract, and it's very unique depending on how many members are in your branch, depending on the respective schedules of the people who are in your branch. It's unique to each branch, but this item is necessary as well because it's concrete that we're going every Sunday. We're going to have a Sunday mass meeting and an ARN viewing rally. It can't be disputed. So that's why the branch calendar is very important. Asana was introduced by the One Party, One People Destiny campaign, and it's for project management. And we haven't used it so far in the IEC or in the organization, but I think that it's a great tool to keep everyone organized and on top of different projects and the various campaigns that we will be carrying out throughout the whole year. So the IEC Administrative Office, POA. So as the secretary of the IEC, I just thought that I would come on, you know, send out a couple of emails, get on the meeting at this time, and then during the meeting, I would take minutes and send the minutes out. But it came to my attention that President Diop was saying, you have to build your administrative office. So I created a POA. IEC Administrative Team POA. The purpose of this team is to effectively carry out the administrative tasks of the IEC. Political overview. The secretary plays a very important role in the organization. Essentially, he or she is the backbone of the organization. The president provides political leadership to the organization, putting forth the general trajectory for the work as determined by the IEC and the International Convention. However, it's the secretary who enforces that leadership, making sure that all mandated decisions made in meetings are recorded and followed up with by the rest of the organization between meetings. In fact, the secretary should be the force most familiar with the inner workings of the organization. Should something happen to the local president, the secretary will assume interim leadership of the organization. And I took this statement from the secretary document that was created, I believe, since the last convention. Essential functions. So some of the essential functions of the secretary are prepare and types memos, letters, and forms and reports with the president, works with the president to develop agendas for meetings and distributes those agendas and minutes of the meetings, maintains record files, schedules appointment and meetings, proofread and edits documents, sets up and routinely checks the international voicemail account, processes incoming and outgoing mail, prepares and catalogs documents for filing, and attends records of meetings, composes correspondence, routine reports, and special reports in any other written documents. Also, the secretary sets up a communication system for the organization utilizing custom the johndoe@npnm.org email accounts, as well as other scheduling tools such as Google Calendars and Asana. Breakdown of roles and positions. So today is your opportunity to be a part of the IEC administrative team. We have the IE secretary, which is myself. She's the chair of this committee. I will assign tasks to other members of this team in order to streamline the work of the IEC, especially the administrative processes of the IEC. You have the secretary. The secretary of the team will take minutes every time we meet and put out the call for everyone to attend the administrative meetings. Calls will include the meeting time and date and connection info to get on the calls. He or she will work closely with the chair to create the agenda for meetings. She will send out all reminders of reports and tasks to be completed. We have the project manager. The project manager will maintain the international list box, send out official notices of the IEC to our contacts and or our members. The project manager will also use the Asana app as an organizing tool to organize the logistics of the projects of the various campaigns of the IEC. We need an IT liaison, IT meaning information, new technology, like a computer person. Will be a member of the AgriPop team and will bring the organization processes and tools of AgriPop to the IEC. They will be responsible for setting up any meetings that will happen online by using apps such as anymeeting.com. And excuse me, I missed a role of the vice chair, and we already have that position filled by St. Petersburg President Bird. And the vice chair works closely with the chair of the committee. And if for any reason the chair cannot be in the meeting, they will chair the meeting at that time. Resolutions. So as the administrative team in the branch building, as the branch building process of NPDEM, hereby we resolve to build branches as we build for the Sixth Party Congress and to carry out the mandates of the branch building process that has been laid out in the One Party, One People, One Destiny branch building manual. Uhura. Right now we will have Q&A. Any questions?
I do want to say one thing about the resolution. But in the political report that I submitted to the convention, the last section of it dealt with the question of the African People's Socialist Party Six-Party Congress that's coming up in December of this year. And we want this to be the best Congress that the party has ever held. And as NPDEM, as the mass organization of the African People's Socialist Party, whose RNDP, our RNDP is the mass program of the African People's Socialist Party. And it's in our deepest interest as NPDEM members and as an organization to unite with the call to build for the Congress, you know? And moving out of this convention, we're going to continue to be NPDEM. We're going to continue to make struggle, to lead resistance. But like we said before, we want for that resistance to contribute to a greater strategy than just to deal with that issue that we resisted around. We want for that resistance to contribute to the strategy, the struggle to build a revolutionary party and a worldwide African revolution. And so part of the work of the branches in terms of, particularly in terms of the need for the Sunday mass rallies, they should be used similarly to how the Sunday rallies up till now was used to build for this convention. The Sunday rallies between now and the Congress should, you know, put the Congress itself on front and center. And all the political questions that we would deal with in the rallies would basically be designed to get people to the Congress to let them know that we're going to be dealing with these questions at the Congress itself. Also, the chairman is going to be on tour. all over the world as a means, partly as a means of building for this Congress as well. There's no better recruiter in our movement than the chairman of Mali Ishitella. If we can build a successful event with the chairman, then you're going to build your organization wherever you're at. That's guaranteed. And I will be playing a really important role in helping to get these events together and the Congress work as a whole. So, but we want to, as part of this resolution, when we say we want to build for the sixth Congress of the party, that's much of the work that we're talking about would entail. So just to clarify what that resolution is all about. So we want to have, is there any discussion on the resolution? Uhuru.
Uhuru, I thought it was a really excellent workshop, and I think it's really powerful to bring science to the whole question of branch building. And I just had one little thing from the outreach part of the, you know, of this same committee. Oh, I'm Penny, African People Solidarity Committee, and also membership outreach team, mass recruitment team that DF is talking about. And I just wanted to add one thing, that it isn't the mandate or the protocols that we made is not just ListBox, it's also, it has to be on a database. ListBox is only an email, and it's really, really important that we have the phone number, the address, the actual address, and any other information. And that's why we're supposed to be setting up with Zoho and in the interim using Excel, the Excel spreadsheets, because for one thing, as you're saying, the building for the Congress will require a mass mailing. We need the updated mailing list, and I hope that can really be instituted in the branch building as well, because otherwise we just have the email address. Now, I know in some places they just have the Excel, they don't have the list box, but we need both, because the list box is a great way to let people know, a lot of people know about events, but we have to have both things. So I just wanted to struggle for that.
I don't know if you wanted to speak to that, but I think we should, what is the process? How do people get list box set up? And we're talking about Zoho in particular, but if not that, Excel, how does that happen?
Well, as of right now, all of our branches are set up with the list box. So we have everyone has a list box. But if that process would go with Lisa Watson, you would send her an email, and she would, you would ask her to request that she sets up the list box for your city, and she will set it up for you. But as of right now, we all have list box in every location at everywhere we are located.
I was in a meeting recently with forces from Europe, based in Europe, and they said they do not have list box. So I don't know if maybe they're not in NPDOM. I don't know.
Everyone has list box, but they don't have the training. We have to set up the training. So we have a process where every branch who says that they need training will send me an email, and I will pass the information along.
And that's part of the importance of the weekly reporting process we're talking about, because we raise questions like, has your list box been updated? You know, even like a report on what's being sent out on the list box. Oh, my bad. That's part of the reporting process as well that we're talking about, because you know, when NPDOM becomes the massive organization that it needs to be, when we have branches all over the world, dozens of branches, we're not going to have the ability, you know, to just randomly find out who does and does not have a list box. We need to have a reporting process in place. So we have to get into the habit right now. And also, the administrative office of the IEC needs to function as the centralized leadership under which that process happens, even if, you know, Lisa Watson is the one, you know, whoever would be the one to update or provide what you say needs to be provided. But it is not where a branch you know, this goes on your own and emails Lisa Watson. The International Administrative Office should know who does and does not have one have list box or not, and also whether or not it's being utilized or if they know how to utilize it. That's a process that needs to be completely organized under the leadership of the administrative office. So, you know, yeah. We have to struggle, you know, for that type of process up and down the line from the IEC all the way down to the branches. Uhuru.
Oh, I unite with that. So to add, to just piggyback off of that, yesterday we had a lot of people join NPDEM, and we do need to get this office filled with to capacity. So I'm passing around a sheet, sign your name if you would like to be a part of the International Executive Committee administrative team. Let me reiterate, we have three positions available. We have the secretary position, the project manager, and the IT liaison. Oh, and Comrade Burt is going to be passing the clipboard around. Please sign your name. We want everyone who is united to be a part of this team. I'm going to move on to the next workshop, and this entire...
We got to vote on the resolution.
Oh.
Yeah. Uhuru. So we got to vote on the resolution, y'all. This is probably one of the most important resolutions of all, because even as we say we're going to do this, that, and the third, Comrade raised yesterday about how we don't want to have another convention where we say we're going to do all this stuff, but then we don't do it. Right. Having these types of structures and processes in place is what guarantees that we will have the ability, the capacity to do what we say we're going to do. All right? So you can't have no revolution, no resistance at all without organization. And this is a call for NPDEM to carry out the organizational work. So the resolution, again, it was laid out that, one, the principles put forth in the organizational manual, which is going to be made available in its entirety to the NPDEM membership via internet, and also for NPDEM's adoption of the campaign, the bill for the 6th Congress of the African People's Socialist Party. So is there any discussion on those resolutions? All right, we're going to go ahead and call the vote then. So get out your red cards. All those in favor, raise up your red card. See, you got the designer card, right?
Who's got the designer card?
It was Fasi. All those opposed, raise up your card. Uhuru. It's unanimous.
Uhuru.
Forward to the 6th Party Congress.
The next workshop will be presented by Deputy Chairwoman Ona Yesitella. It is entitled Building for Economic Self-Reliance. I'm going to give you a bio. Deputy Chair Ona Zene Yesitella joined the party January 31st, 2010. Deputy Chair began contributing to the movement in 1995/1996 by starting the first food co-op. She then joined the committee to elect Amalie Yesitella for mayor of St. Petersburg in 2001. As a member of NPDEM, DC owner developed the Office of the National Treasurer. She developed the NPDEM membership and sustainer program, including the point of entry process for recruitment and winning member donors. As a member of the party, Ona Zene was assigned chief of staff of the office of the chairman and was appointed deputy chair to build the capacity of the office of the chair and began building a staff. Deputy Chair coordinated the party's goals for updating and revising the ASP organizer's manual as mandated by the Fifth Party Congress. For the past 2 years, the Office of the Chairman has assumed strategic and practical leadership of the Office of Economic Development and Finance, and Deputy Chair is spearheading that transition. She has brought the vision of the chairman to the economic front of our movement and brought science, systems, protocols, and accountability to the Office of Economic Development and Finance. Now, she not only directs the Office of Economic Development and Finance, but also has temporarily assumed the role of board president of African People's Education and Defense Fund and has been developing the economic capacity of all the APEDF institutions, as well as developing a human resources department, which can be reproduced throughout the movement. She is leading the charge to concretize the struggle of our party and people for self-government. She builds an organization in every area she's over and has set the example by building the Office of Economic Development to capacity. Everything you admire about the beauty and decor of the Uhuru House and the Quabba Hall can be attributed to the leadership of Deputy Chair, who displayed the heroic history of our movement and our chairman and our struggle for freedom and independence. Uhuru.
Uhuru. So we're going to bring up Comrade Deputy Chairwoman Oli Ishitella is one of the panelists on this next workshop, and I'm actually going to be moderating it. Also on the panel is going to be newly elected International Director of Economic Development and Finance for NPDOM, Sister Comrade Zelobia Spencer. And Zelobia, y'all heard about her just now, and actually I do want to read her bio. Comrade Zelobia, as we said before, she is the newly elected International Director of Economic Development and Finance for the organization. And she's been doing a lot of work with and for NPDOM over the last several years. She actually began, when was it when you started doing the Roots Festival?
2008.
From 2008 up until now, she has consistently participated, volunteered at one of our main fundraisers, which was the Chicago Roots Festival that happens in the summer. And she's been always coming up with plans to raise money for the organization, function, and also right now functions as membership coordinator for the Chicago branch of NPDOM. And I was, I've always known of Zelobia, and I was particularly impressed with the way that the work was being led and dealt with. And last time I was able to go into Chicago. But this workshop is going to be dealing with the question of economic self-reliance for NPDOM. Because the reality is that resistance takes resources. You got to have money to make this happen. We need to keep the lights on, pay the rent. Well, we don't pay rent. We own the building. But, in the places where we got to pay the rent, you know what I mean. We have expenses that we incur. Photocopies got to be made. All types of expenses to fund a revolution. And we have to have a serious capacity, to raise resources just so we can sustain the work that we do. And that's not even including the whole question of economic development for the African community as a whole, because NPDOM, as an organization, we have to provide leadership to the community in terms of building a capacity for economic self-reliance. And NPDOM, we follow the leadership of the African People's Socialist Party, through whose leadership under Comrade Deputy Chair's leadership has laid out a very good framework within which we can start up and build programs for economic self-reliance. That's what Black Star Industries is all about. It's the economic engine of the African People's Socialist Party that has various programs that are designed to provide a real fundraising capacity economic development capacity for our movement and for the community. We're going to be hearing more about that. But one other thing is the importance, the centrality. As NPDUM being a mass organization, our primary task is to lead mass struggle and to organize the unorganized masses. We are to be an organization of thousands and thousands of members around the world. And therefore, we should approach, just like everything else, we should approach the question of economic development through the question of membership. Just even in terms of the amount of money we raised, what was it, about $7,000 yesterday through donations, through memberships. And if we had processes like this happening all the time, all over the world, then that would be generating a substantial amount of resources for the organization. And that is the primary form of economic work that we must be carrying out all the time. So the next workshop is designed to give you an understanding of how we're going to take that work on. Comrade Zenobia and Deputy Chairwoman Oni Ishitella. Uhuru.
So I just want to say that I'm really excited to be here today to talk about economic development as it pertains to NPDOM and Black Star Industries. And I have given so many presentations around Black Star Industries and the chairman as well. What I wanted to do today was do something a little different. I really wanted to engage everyone in this room by having a quiz show, you know, around Black Star Industry and how NPDOM can raise resources through Black Star Industries. So we developed 10 questions that we want to ask you to be a participant in, and we're going to also give prizes to the winners. So, but this is also going to help you understand what Black Star Industry is, and we're going to also talk about how NPDOM can raise resources through Black Star Industries as well as some of the other economic development components of our organization. So is
what?
I don't see it on this. Okay, so NPDOM presents Black Star Industry Quiz Show. So question one, and you can just, if you know the answer, I'm going to read through the question and I'm going to read through the possible answers, and if you know your answers, just raise your hand and we'll go from there. So do everybody get what I'm trying to do here? I want everybody to participate. We, like I said, we've had numerous of presentations around Black Star Industries, and now we want to see what you know. All right? All right. So the first question is, who can tell me what is Black Star Industries? A, an initiative that would buy all the guns back for $25 each. B, it's a free breakfast program developed by Black Panther Party. C, the new program that designed to decrease unemployment for all Americans in the United States and Europe. D, a program that helps people who have lost their homes through foreclosures and subprime mortgage. E, a limited liability company, LLC, that brings all the economic development institutions and projects of the African People's Socialist Party under one single umbrella. It also provides opportunities for the community, partnerships, subsidiary companies, which benefit both BSI and enterprising individuals. And let me just say, the people that are from my office that are raising their hands, put your hands down. So yes. I'm sorry. Can you stand up and say your name? Okay, and which one is it? You're correct. So Black Star Industries, again, is a limited liability company that brings all the economic development institutions and projects of the African People's Socialist Party under one single umbrella. It also provides opportunities for community partnerships, subsidiary companies, which benefit both BSI and enterprising individuals. Question two, who envisioned and developed Black Star Industry? A, Naisha Moncrief, B, President Barack Hussein Obama II, C, Chairman Amalia Shetella, D, Chairman Alpha Ba, E, Cecil John Rose. Didon. And you are correct, Chairman Amalia Shetella. Come get your. So we want to thank the leadership of the African People's Socialist Party, Chairman Amalia Shetella, who has carried the legacy of Marcus Garvey and the Garvey Movement to create Black Star Industries. In this process of building economic development and economic self-reliance, we are preparing to self-govern once again. Uhuru. So three, which great African leader did Black Star Industry take its name from?
Jack Robinson.
Walia. Uhuru. So Marcus Garvey is the correct answer. And Black Star Industry takes its name from the Black Star Line shipping line company that was organized by Marcus Garvey and the UNIA in 1919. Like Garvey's vision, BSI intent is to organize independent economic development for the international African community as part of the struggle for self-determination. Question four. Now, this is a true or false question. APSP USA owns Black Star Industry. Is that true or false? Well, Leah, you can't answer all the questions now. Aisha Fleury.
Is it true?
It is true.
It is true.
It's true, comrade. Okay, this is a two-part question, so you're going to have to really pay attention to get the right answer. How many 100% LLCs are owned by Black Star Industries? And I want you to name them. So A is 5, and it's Uhuru Foods and Pies, Uhuru News and Radio, Uhuru Planet, One Africa, One Nation Marketplace, and Bernie Spear Publication. B, 5, Uhuru Foods and Pies, Uhuru News, Aquaba Hall, Uhuru Radio, Uhuru Flea Market. C, 5. Uhuru Foods and Pies, One Africa, One Nation Marketplaces, Uhuru News and Radio, Uhuru Planet, and APEDF. Or D, 6, Tyrone Woods Community Gym, Aquaba Hall, Uhuru House, St. Petersburg, The Saturday Market, Uhuru House in Oakland, and APDEP. And E, 5, APEDF, APDEP, YES, ASI, MPDOM. So who can answer that for me? Zenobia.
I'm going to say, this is really a tough answer, but I'm going to go with, it's tough, okay? I am going to go with B, Uhuru Foods and Pies, Uhuru News, Aquaba Hall, Uhuru Radio.
That's incorrect. That's incorrect. Tina. That's not correct. That's incorrect. Nate.
There's somebody that was up on the wall, too.
You going to say, I can't hear you come. Let's see if you're right. Uhuru Conrad, you're right. So there is 5 LLCs owned by Black Star Industries, which is Uhuru Foods and Pies, Uhuru News and Radio, Uhuru Planet, the One African, One Nation Marketplaces, and Burning Spear Publications. Uhuru. Question 6, true or false again. Uhuru Foods and Pies is a limited liability company, LLC, 100% owned by the African People's Solidarity Committee. True or false? Can you raise your hand, please? K-Fiend. He looking in the burning spear. K-Fiend. It's false. And you're right, it's false.
All of these things in every issue of the Burning
Spear. Question 7. What is the first step that NPDOM has to do to become part of Black Star Industry process? People in NPDOM should know this question. Brother James. Have what? No. I'm sorry? No. People that haven't won already can. Ushindi. No. Penny. Ding. I don't think I have any more gifts. Complete the application process. And I want to say I only had about 6 gifts to give out. So I've given out all the gifts that I have, but you got what? Okay, I just want to say a little bit about the application process, which includes questions such as the contact person's name, the position in the department and organization, your leadership name, because you have to submit your leadership name because your leadership has to sign off on the application and really be in contact with the IEC and the president of NPDOM to approve the application process. The application process also includes the type of experience do you have in food preparation, food handling, food safety, marketing and promotions, bookkeeping, inventory management. Have you operated a business before? Because that's going to be something that you're really going to want to know how to do. And if not, I'm going to be talking later about the training process that we're going to be implementing for all departments and organizations. Want to know if you were in business, are you still in business now? You know, because if you are, you know, we can use some of those tools to, you know, help move it along. What are some of the food opportunities in your area? Who better know than you than what is in your area to help really help us make this process successful? What type of what kind of equipment do you need? Food trucks? Do you need burners? Do you need grills? What is it that you need to help move this process forward? Menu ideas. What type of food in your area that people like to eat? Because there might be menus or recipes in your area that are more important in the South than in the West. So we really want to know all that information. Vegan or vegetarian dishes. startup money? Do you need startup money, or are you going to use some of the credit cards that you might have in MPDOM to make this process happen? So these are some of the type of questions that are on the application process. And I want to say that MPDOM has completed the application process, and we're in the stage of reviewing that application, and we will be meeting with the Director of Economic Development in the next week or so. Uhura. Okay, question 8. What is the next step MPDOM should take to become part of BSI? A, appoint a Uhura Foods and Pie coordinator. B, sign the licensing agreement. C, attend training. D, select proposed events for approval. And E, all of the above. Oh, you already been. Let's try somebody else. Cassandra. No. Mm-mm. No. Mm-mm. No. Aisha Fleury. No. Walia. No. Bruce. Let's see if that's right. Ding, 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 ding. All the above. So I want to talk a little bit about the licensing agreement. You want to use the Uhura Foods and Pies brand name and approved material. You want to follow all the standards of Uhura Foods and Pies procedures. You want to obtain all necessary insurance permits, licenses, and carry all legal food handling requirements. These things are very, very important. This is a legal business, and we have to run it as such. This is why the licensing agreement is so important to follow. You have to carry out all the goals and missions of Uhura Foods and Pies. You have to pay 10% of the gross income before your expenses for all events to Uhura Foods and Pies. And most importantly, you have all intellectual property, the recipes, trade secrets, trademarks, and the processes of Uhura Foods and Pies, even if it was developed by an individual, it's still the property of Uhura Foods and Pies. So just for instance, just say you came in and you start saying, oh, I got this great barbecue recipe, you know, that, you know, I want to introduce to Uhura Foods and Pies. And then you decide to leave. Under the licensing agreement, that recipe belongs to Uhura Foods and Pies. So we want to make sure that everybody understands the importance of the licensing agreements and the application process and all the different processes that you're signing before you go forward with this process. Okay, Uhura Food Systems. We want, like we've been talking about this whole conference, we've been talking about the science, you know, talking about how we develop all the procedures and systems for Uhura Foods and Pies. We develop manuals, team structures and job descriptions, the financial end of it, taking care of the budget, and marketing assessments. These all the science that goes along with this process that we've developed to help MPDOM move forward in this process. The marketing assessment, this is very important. This gives us the tools to analyze any potential fairs and festivals that we see worthwhile doing. Because what you want to do, you don't want to just say, I'm going to go to the Makers Fair and don't know what's made up of the Makers Fair. So you want to, you know, scope it out. You want to go there and see, I wonder how many number of people that actually come to the Makers Fair. So you go there and you analyze it. And the number of people that they had last year, and you can find out some of this information from the people who are that you have the application process with. Is it a music festival? Is it a car show? Is it crafts? Is there any political undertones to this fair that you can analyze to see if this is something that MPDOM really wants to do? And will it be profitable is another key characteristic. Estimating and budgets. Like I said, it's a science. You have to project the total of income and expenses to know what you're going to profit. So the budget and the estimating is very important in this process. The booth layout and evaluation form. This evaluation form is after you've done the fair or festival. Now you're sitting back and you're saying to yourself, how much money did I make? Was the sales effective? Did we have enough staff? Did we have enough volunteers? You sum up all these different areas to find out about donation. Did we get any donations in? Were the prices right for this event? And if not, you analyze that and you prepare for the next fair. The team structure, which I'm sure that Zenobia will be talking about, but you would need an overall coordinator, a food and a shop prep coordinator, a logistics and operation coordinator, volunteer staff, and recruitment coordinator. This is the structure that makes up being able to carry out this as a viable economic development venture. Training. We're going to be offering phone conferences and consultations, committee meetings, classroom training, on-site practical training, and peer training. So some of the training that is going to really be starting next week right here in St. Petersburg, Florida. We have people from Sweden that's going to be participating. Zenobia from Chicago is going to be participating, as well as people from D.C. and London. So we're having training right here in this building starting next week, tomorrow. Some of the other training in the Northeast, New York, Philly, and D.C., we're going to be training in St. Pete at events and markets in April. On the West Coast, we're going to have on-site training May 16th through the 20th for the Makers Fair. The first weekend in June, the Sunnyvale Festival. And the first weekend of August, we're going to have the Art and Soul Festival training. And like I said earlier, you know your community better than we do. So we're going to be asking you to help us to find out what potential festivals, fairs in your area. In Chicago, we have the Green Festival and special events. In Washington, D.C., we also have the Green Festival and the Eastern Market. In Philly and New York, we have the One Africa, One Nation Marketplace and the Maker Faire in New York in September. In St. Petersburg, we have Tampa and West Coast Farmers Market and Fresh Market. And Newcastle, England, we have the Makers Faire. So under BSI, we've just brought Ahura Foods under Black Star Industries, and we developed a new look for it. So this is our new logo for Ahura Foods and Pies that was developed by Marcus Kartner and Rich Pietra. This is our new brochure that we just developed as well. What we realized that since it's under Black Star Industries now, we want to give it a new African flair. So this is the new look that we designed. We have new T-shirts for the staff, aprons, and this is what our booth looked like. So wherever you go, this is going to be the template that every organization and department used, including MPDOM, to help build that look and that branding, because it's very important that we have everything the same. And, you know, it really is a dynamic presentation, and it really makes people want to come and engage us in the booth, and it also brings in resources, believe it or not. And we have delicious food. If you have not tasted Ahura Foods and Pies Saturday at the Saturday Market here in St. Petersburg, if you're going to be here, you can come out and taste our food. It's delicious. Okay, question 9. What are some of the other ways MPDOM can build its economic development capacity by being part of Black Star Industries? And this is a hard one, so I'm just going to go ahead and go through this because I was only supposed to have 15 minutes and I'm 5 minutes over. So one of the ways that they can do this is to sell the Burning Spear newspaper and receive 40% of the sales. They can also participate in Ahura Foods and Pies and receive 90% of the gross sales. They can create the One Africa, One Nation marketplace and receive 90% of the gross sales. They can sell the Burning Spear publication and receive 40% of the sales. And by participating in Black Star Industries, they help build the economic development for MPDOM and Black Star Industries. So the final question is, how can each of us help build Black Star Industries? By donating and asking every African to invest in the economic future to build the African nation for African people worldwide. Uhuru.
Uhuru. How's everyone? Uhuru. All right, before I start, stand up, everybody. We're going to do a little stretching. Put your hands up to the sky. Yeah. All right. Whenever y'all ready to sit down, you can have a seat. I just wanted to wake you up some. So today I'm going to discuss the reason why MPDOM and BSI should work together. I'm going to discuss a lot of other things too, but it's a short overview. I call this the 20 grand presentation. In order to properly build this revolutionary organization, MPDOM, we need to develop strong economic base in which we are able to fund our different programs and campaigns. Some of our programs and campaigns include, but are not limited to, the African Resistance Now online show, the Campaign for Self-Defense and Liberation, and the Marcus Garvey Academy. I will share with you my vision of how MPDOM should move forward in the future, being that we are the leading organization in the struggle for bread, peace, and black power for the African community. I understand that under the right leadership, we have room to expand and grow financially. Can you guys picture this? MPDOM as an organization generating enough resources for the future of our African youth, elders, and community. We are generating resources for survival. Everyone in this room needs food, clothing, and shelter. We need that as individuals, and we also need that as a mass revolutionary organization. MPDOM should be a part of Black Star Industries because we both share the goal of economic self-reliance, political power and self-determination for the African community. As stated earlier, the Burning Spear, Uhuru Radio, Uhuru Foods and Pies, and Planet Uhuru are just a few of the subsidies wholly owned by Black Star Industries. BSI is willing to contribute to business training classes in order to ensure our success. And together we are building an infrastructure of the economy of the African nation. But however, MPDOM is a mass organization, and our primary task is coming from our primary source through our membership. We depend on our members. We survive off our membership. So if there's someone online that's thinking about becoming a member, go ahead online and click. Also, we're accepting donations as well. I just had to throw that in there. All right, so when I talk about membership and sustainable funding, the Pledge of Resistance, we're going to work on the Pledge of Resistance. Currently, I've clicked on the webpage. We're not taking any pledges on there. I'll go into that a little later. But the Pledge of Resistance is like the backbone. Like, I understand we got a yearly fee, okay, to be a member. But on top of that yearly fee, I would like us to make extra contributions as a whole. As each branch can develop events and ideas to accomplish this goal. So, all right. Oh, yeah. I call that all members of MPDOM make a contribution to the Pledge of Resistance. whether it's $500 or $10, no matter how large or how small, we have to support the foundation of the organization. It is tax season. Everybody got some taxes returned back, so, you know, give back to the community. Hey, maybe not. I didn't get nothing back. Yeah, Uncle Sam. Also, each branch has a goal to bring in 5 new members. If each branch brings in 5 new members, that generates more resources for MPDOM as a whole. This process will be coordinated through branches to generate resources as a whole. I said that already. Ooh, I'm a little nervous. I ain't never nervous. Okay. I recommend that every branch appoint an economic development coordinator. And this person will be the point person to generate continuous income for the branch and will work closely with me and the committee. I begin giving the task to develop this plan of action, which is still in the working. As MPDOM, we can sell, promote, market, and provide services for the advancement of the African community. The office should be structured as the following. Is there a POA am I on a screen? I don't have nothing. Yeah, that's all right. Don't worry about it. I'll move on. Black Power. All right, I'm going to go over the positions of the of my department. I did submit it on time, but it's okay. The first one would be the Director of Economic Development, which leads the entire Economic Development and Finance Office. That's the overseer of all the separate programs under MPDOM and the whole BSI partnership. The second position would be the massive coordinator, basically membership and sustainable funding for economic growth. This person must generate new members as well as assist with the Pledge of Resistance and also have enthusiasm to basically want to win resources. Because we all in here need resources, but some people enthusiasm is more higher than others. And in the resource building program, you need to have like high energy, just we gonna make this, we gonna make it happen. Like today, when I'm done, I hope online and within this room that we raise $1,000. That's my goal. But that's something else. Back to my structure of the office. Another position will be the MPDOM online store coordinator. We have an online store. The online store, it needs someone to organize the web store, the web page, promote the store, generate sales, keep inventory of all MPDOM products, as well as basically advertising. I think it's at a point now where as an organization we can move forth and all of our different blog websites and different web, everyone connected, we should like put an ad on there, like, you know, support MPDOM, support BSI, get you Uhuru Foods. Like, it should just be a little ad. You click on other people's webpage, and they always throw something at you. You go on Google, they got something to sell you. Well, as MPDOM, we have something to sell you as well. So basically, the online store coordinator will be in charge of that. Also, as stated earlier, we need a Uhuru Foods director. This person will be the lead person for food training, sales and marketing of Uhuru Food and Pies, organize street fairs and events, and manage hot dog stand in Philly. I just learned something from her presentation that the whole organizing street fairs and events, that's going to go under the logistics coordinator. And as far as getting the people to work the booth, that's going to go under another position called the volunteer coordinator. Oh, yeah. MPDOM tour coordinator is another position. Okay, my branch has 9 positions under my economic development and finance office. And the last 2 positions are secretary and treasurer. So another overview of the positions. We have the director of economic development and finance. We got the massive coordinator, the MPDOM online store coordinator, the Uhuru Foods director, the MPDOM tour coordinator. Basically, this would be a key person that works with coordinating the DOP tours and the Uhuru tours with the chairman. They set places and events and act as a mediator between the public and MPDOM for MPDOM leadership. The work with the tours must target college campuses as well as youth organizations. Anybody who needs to hear the truth that MPDOM has to share with the world, this is what their job will be. So I know that when Diop was in Chicago, he was well welcomed. We can get Diop to come to Sweden. We can get Diop in Germany. We can get Diop in a lot of places. And he can also help each branch generate income. When he came to Chicago, we generated a little income. We had 40 people. We made about $40. But I'm being realistic. But if he wasn't there, we wouldn't have made the $40. At some point in my presentation, I'm going to pass the clipboard around, and you guys that are interested in those positions with the office, feel free to sign up. I do not have a key clipboard person, but I'm sure the clipboard will come back. I will start. Okay, so at this point, I was supposed to have some pretty on the screen and stuff with some stuff, but I'm still a freestyle worker. I got it worked down on how to make 20 grand in a year for MP Dump. All right, it's broke down in percentage-wise. We need to get 22.5% from membership, 25% from Uhuru Food and Pies work with BSI, 15% from MP Dump products. That includes T-shirts. We got some new necklaces. And also, at this point, I'm open-minded to any products or event ideas that you have that can make money for the organization. 15% from cultural events. As African people, we like to socialize, and we like to pay to socialize. That is one of our attributes. And I propose that 15% of the $20,000 come from throwing events like a stepper set, a regular party, a reggae party, a classical music party, a drummer circle. Step aside. Oh, I'm from Chicago. Oh, okay. Bop. We in Florida, right? Bop. Y'all bop? Oh, y'all don't know about bopping either. You just stepping around two people, you know. Okay. That's a cultural thing, but okay, it's similar to the bop. And basically, it's an event where basically comrades like to come out and dance, any type of music. Stepping music is like, unfortunately, who can I name off the top? I want to name somebody else. But not R. I didn't want to say R. Kelly, but something like that, you know, step in the name of love, things of that nature. All right. $20,000, we got 23% on membership, 25% on Uhuru Foods, 15% on MP Dump products, 15% on stepper set or cultural events, 15% generated from the online store, which is also an overlap. We have MP Dump products, and that will also be a part of the online store generated income. So basically, I'm asking for a lot. So really, it's 30% from MP Dump products. Basically, 15% from just products itself that aren't online and 15% from online products. And 7.5% from the President Tours. That's the Diop Tours and the Uhuru Tours. As the Director of Economic Development and Finance, I'm open to new products and event ideas. It is time for us to build an independent African economy. It costs money to make money, and then it costs money to make some more money. So if you guys are ready to make money and continue making money, we need to do this. A few of my product ideas, which I'll probably go over at a later time, but I'll give you a small idea other than a stepper set. I have, we should at one point develop documentaries. You know, you always see the bootleg movie man. He got movies. He got documentaries. Well, I'm from Chicago. They got all type of movies. And so they be like, well, you got a video of the chairman? You know, and it's a couple videos of the chairman, but I say it's MP Dump. We put together a documentary about MP Dump and then sell that as a product because the youth, they not reading. They watching. And it would be an educational tool as well if we develop a video form of the history of MP Dump. And I generate that to make a couple hundred dollars in my POA. We're working on getting some embroidery t-shirts. That's when it look like somebody sewed the name on your shirt. People like to wear new things, wear different things. This t-shirt can generate at least $400 to $500 for the organization. I don't have an example of the t-shirt with me now, but I will soon come. Basically, this is an overdraft of how to make 20 grand. This is how you make 20 grand. You need enthusiasm, you need dedication, you need commitment, and you need a few resources to generate more resources. So basically, oh, they got me. Oh, yeah. Okay. I'm excited now. I'm about to show up on screen. Focus. I'll make overall the resolution of the Office of Economic Development and Finance is basically that all branches abide by doing the work with BSI, and also that all branches appoint an economic development and finance coordinator. This person will work with me closely to understand the different program ideas that I have to generate these resources. When he does pull this up, it's going to show the percentages and basically the different numbers on where the $20,000 resources will come from. Also, my clipboard is empty. I'm going to come around. Do I got to bring it around myself personally? Any interested comrades, I need your support. And in order to generate resources, we need more than one person. I need to develop a committee. I wrote little notes on here. It says, please have enthusiasm, dedication, and commitment. Those of you interested, the clipboard will be passed around soon again. All right, while they trying to pull up, hello, Uhuru. Yes, I'm open for questions and answers at this point. I hear my name everywhere. I'm needed at the table. Oh, you know how it is. Can you please step up to the microphone with your question? Oh, no, don't do me like that. Okay, question.
Maybe I may have missed it, but the percentages breakdown, how much of the resources are coming from memberships?
Exactly 22.5%.
Okay.
Uhuru.
That's just memberships?
That's just memberships. That is relying on that we generate at least 5 new members a month, as well as these members try to upgrade the membership levels as well. Yeah, 5 members a month per branch. Also, with the 20 grand, that's only $4,500 from membership. Today, I think yesterday we raised about, what was that? Was that 1,200? 7,000. Wow. I'm sorry, I just knew what my part was. Okay, so 7,000. Wow, we raised that in one day. So therefore, we can raise over the 23% that I have adjusted in my POA here. Events like this, this is a convention in Chicago. We voted to have another African community convention again as well, because things like this generate resources as well as educate the public about what we're about. And the next large percentage amount comes from the work with Uhuru Foods and Pies. We all have a sweet tooth. Well, maybe we all don't have a sweet tooth. We do have some diabetics. I will be correct myself. But we do have vegan products. And I'm very excited because the average cost of a pie is anywhere between $7 to $12. The average cost of a cake, however, is anywhere between $10 to $30, maybe even more. It depends on how big the cake and how many layers of the cake. So therefore, I believe that it can be accomplished to get the 25% of the $20,000 from Uhuru Foods. MPDOM products, t-shirts, necklaces, books, movies. Also, I stress that each branch sell more of the publications of MPDOM and APSP.
because that also generates income as well, like an additional to selling the Burning Spear newspaper. I agree to like every branch to at least try to sell a couple of books a month. I haven't really regulated which the numbers or the amount can be, but that also generates income. Any more questions?
Uhuru, I just want to say I really appreciate both of those presentations, and I'm really impressed with Zenobia, that you have a plan of action and your enthusiasm for all the fundraising. It's really exciting. I work under Deputy Chair under the Department of Economic Development and Finance, and one of the things I've learned in, you know, to facilitate doing the economic development is that you would need to have a committee. I mean, if you're the international chair, one of the ways that you would have a committee would be to have all the treasurers of or the economic development specialists from every branch, as that would be a committee of yours that you would be able to immediately start working with. And that one of the things that would be really important, I think, for Impedum is to build a budget for the year, not just the income, but what people are spending, and being able to track the assessments and track the income, both on your international level and, you know, with the branches. And, you know, I hope that's something that our office can work with Impedum on to help set up, because it'll give you a much, you know, be able to move things forward in a good way. I know that you changed from having a treasurer on the IEC, but that those functions still would probably have to be part of the IEC, you know. So I just wanted to appreciate all this, and I'm looking forward to the Uhuru Foods and Pies training next week. Uhuru.
You are absolutely correct. The treasury is definitely a part of my department. I did not even speak on that, keeping the finances and the basically the budget of the organization. This is a POA and working. Okay. So, next question.
Uhuru Zenobia. That was a good PowerPoint and budget, you know, you put together. I had a question. I want to know, are y'all open to new products?
Yes, I've said that several times while I was up here today. I'm definitely open to new products. Sister, what kind of new products you speaking of?
No, I just was asking. And number two, I want to know, like, how would a local branch get the T-shirts? I know in the past it was, like, you know, a little issues getting them so we could sell them.
Okay, it's still going to be issues getting T-shirts, but before you leave today, comrade, and any other comrade in this room that is interested in selling T-shirts in their branches, speak with me. I do want you to prepay for the shirts before you got them, so I won't have to try to catch up to you. But I understand at this point in time you won't have the resource, so I'm going to draw up a contract basically saying you will return the resources for the shirts. But I have a lot of shirts. I got enough shirts. I got enough shirts for everybody in the room and then some.
Okay, but I'm asking, is there going to be a plan? So if we're not
okay, basically the plan is at the end of the convention today, meet me at the Impedum table. Let me know what sizes you want, the quantity you want. I will let you know the total of the cost, and then you will sign off saying that you will return the cost for the shirt.
All right, I didn't finish my question, but I was trying to say at the end, like, let's say we go home and we out our T-shirts. So moving forward, how will we get T-shirts? Because that's been a problem.
Oh, I got you.
That's been a problem in the past.
I understand.
So I'm trying to, you know, so we can rectify it and move forward. Like, what will we
okay, do if you are leaving before the end of the convention today, I will give you my direct contact information, and I will be shipping shirts out from Chicago to each branch that requires them. Question.
Uhuru. As far as Black Star Industries and like a local Impedum a branch, like the branch may have Impedum Newark has an idea, a T-shirt idea, to put a T-shirt out, get it developed. What is the breakdown with BSI and the IEC? You know, how does that get broken down, and how does that work?
Well, basically, I will do the research on the cost on how much it's going to take to make the shirt. And then we develop a partnership with BSI, and then they tell me how much they need as well. We put the budget together with the costs and the profits, and then we go forward and make the shirt. Yes.
Uhuru Comrade, I can't see you, Oshindi, but right now BSI has purchased our own T-shirt machine. So we have in-house availability to all department and organizations who want to actually do their T-shirts. So it will be through one of the LLCs that is going to be owned by Black Star Industries. Right now we have a tentative name called Uhuru Outfitters. Is that right, Rich? Tentatively? Very tentatively, Uhuru Outfitters. So that would be the process that you would need to go through in order to get T-shirts made through BSI. And we can give you more information on that as it develops. But one of the things that I wanted to say about this whole economic development workshop is that I was hoping that NPDOM would horn you. I think you need to horn down what you want to do, because right now you have but like 9 different ideas that might take a long time to develop. So that's why we were here to present Black Star Industries under Uhuru Foods and Pies as one of the primary ways that you can raise resources right away. We've had this entity for over 30 years now, and we have the science down, we have the process down to make it happen. Even though these are some great ideas that you put forth, but we really want to start generating income through Black Star Industry as well as through the massive program that NPDOM has initiated. So I'm hoping that the Office of Economic Development can work with you more to fine-tune your POA and your strategy for carrying out economic development in a more strategic way. Uhuru.
Uhuru.
BSI made T-shirts for this convention, so whatever process they have in place for that to happen under the convention, Zenobia has already spoke to that. But you know, being in partnership with BSI is a totally different thing. Yeah. So, Uhuru.
Uhuru, I don't think it really speaks to that either, because I think Kiang is raising a practical question in terms of, it's not like, you know, case by case type of thing, but we need to have a protocol, like a process in place, so that, you know, we know where all the inventory, not just with T-shirts, but anything else that we call in on the locals to sell, which may or may not be part of what BSI is doing, but, you know, we need to know where all the T-shirts are at all times. For one, we need to have a process through which, you know, orders coming from the locals can be fulfilled in a timely fashion, as well as orders coming in from, like, just regular people online, you know, that order on the store. You know, there needs to be a comprehensive, you know, approach, a plan of action that says, you know, how the resource is going to be handled, you know. And I know that this is just a vision as opposed to a full-out. This is not a full-out POA, but this is more like a introductory type of vision. That we're looking for the input from the conventions to help, like DCOna said, to hone it, you know. But more than anything, it's also a call for the membership to join the committee the Comrades Zenobia is trying to build. It's about, you know, building the Office of Economic Development and Finance so that Zenobia is not, you know, running in 9 different directions trying to hold down the online store and, you know, the T-shirts and the massive and the tours. You know, she needs an office that can, you know, has a division of labor with forces that carry out all the different things that need to happen. If we had forces in place, we could do a lot of this stuff tomorrow, you know. So, and a lot of the stuff that was described doesn't even require that, you know, you take that much time or that you even gotta, leave your home. A lot of the stuff can be done in front of your computer, you know. So for those who, you know, have busy schedules or childcare issues or, you know, whatever, there are ways in which you can help on a practical level with this economic development work. And in terms of the products, the question that was raised around the products, I know that BSI is the type of institution that allows for applicants, you know, aspiring business owners, et cetera, to you know, make their ideas come to fruition, and that may be a discussion that should be had with BSI leadership. But I do know that, you know, any type of arrangement that NPDOM would have directly with membership or just people in the community in terms of economic partnership, you know, that may or may not be something that we could do. I think that's something the ISC would have to discuss and have a real, you know.
Sex, the same year that the paper.